For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hold on, let me turn this fucking light down a little bit. I got these little spotlights here. They're badass, but they're way too fucking bright.
Whenever you're ready. When you get comfortable, you get comfortable.
Dude, I'm good, man. I got a soda. I got a fucking blunt. I'm good.
I'm drinking ginger ale. I wish I could smoke inside. All right. All right. Now, for the millionth time. So last week was like the 1,000th. So every time you come on, I think I just add multiple zeros. For the times you've appeared on this show, Benny, you guys know him and love him. He's number one in your hearts, number one in your pockets. Benny Ricciardi, part of the FTN Sportsnet now, or FTN Network. All of them, FTN in general, FTN Bets as well, Benny. You'll tell the people what's going on. I'm glad you're doing well. You got a lot going on. I already told the people before the show. You told them last week, we dropped the big news, and now you go from we're looking for something to do to there's no time in the day. I'm looking at a new studio. Things look good. You've risen from the ashes in a sense, and I love to see it, Benny. Welcome back on, man.
Yeah, like the phoenix rising from the ashes. I like it. Well, I didn't really rise from the ashes. I mean, you've known that you've been in the loop for a while because we're boys. That, you know, I had something in the works here, and I was working on it all. So yeah, the studio is done here. I accepted the job. So basically, what I'm doing right now, I'm the vice president of affiliate marketing for FTN Network, which is Fade the Noise. Brad Evans is the man in charge of that company. A lot of you may know him from Yahoo fame. A lot of good guys over there, a bunch of guys that I've worked with before, which made this a very easy transition for me. So I'm going to be doing a lot of the affiliate marketing stuff for them. I'm going to be doing a lot of the stuff on the FTN Bets site. We have basically three sites. FTN Bets is obviously the betting site. FTN Daily is our daily fantasy site. And then FTN Fantasy, which is season-long fantasy stuff. You know, a lot of good guys over there. Jeff Radcliffe, who used to be with Pro Football Focus, is working over here with us. My boy Pat Mayo from, you know, the DraftKings Network, a lot of people, Pat, you know, a lot of good names. My buddy Kevin Adams, who was the guy who I helped start Elite with, is now over here as well. He was the guy who is the brains behind FTN Network. You know, really smart dude, really good business dude, which is why when he told me he had a position and he needed some help with it and I'd be perfect for it, I definitely wanted to listen because I've watched this guy build one company that made $5 million a year before. I figured he could definitely do it again. So, you know, definitely not a bad person to be in business with. So really, really happy. I honestly can't even tell you, Steve. I'm looking forward to everything. Met a lot of the new guys I'm going to be working with over there. A lot of really smart guys, a lot of really talented fantasy players, a lot of really smart sports bettors. So it's going to be a good time. And I am very, very excited about it.
You know, Benny, not for nothing. And I believe that they're smart guys, but you're a smart guy too, you know. You're pretty smart. You're a chip off the old block. Don't sell yourself short. I think you're just as smart.
Yo, you know that Weehawken education, baby? Come on.
It's the finest in the public school systems. You know, Benny, and the reason I need you to know that you're smart, I need you to be sharp here for us, okay? Because we had a long week. We had a long week on this show. I had to come out and tell the people we went 6-1. Just about as good as you could go, starting with a Packers win at -6 on Thursday. Felt really good. That one was a landslide. We didn't even panic. We were just cruising. I was on the Bills. I took the over in that game. I know you like Seattle, but I was on the Bills. Really, only Denver had lost, and they were close to doing what I said. I wanted the points. It wasn't enough, but they really almost backdoored those Falcons there. But Buffalo, that over. The Ravens got home for the both of us. I took the under and the Bears-Titans. It was fantastic. And then 4 p.m. hit. And my God, the Steelers almost lost.
Yes, they did. That was so glad I stayed away from that game because that was very, very surprising. I did not think that was going to be that close.
13.5 did not cover. And for those of you at home who pay attention to our teasers, a big hit for me. So I also had the Bears in that teaser, so they were able to backdoor cover for me. But Steelers down at 8 or 7.5 there. We got it at 13.5. So I had it at 7.5. And there was a chance for them to kick a field goal and go up 8, but they were up 5, and they went for it on 4th down. And that's one that if you didn't have it in the teaser, you didn't feel it, but it hurt to watch. Just take the 3. Give me the cover. Because the Cowboys did nothing with the ball. I wanted the cover. They kept it at 5 and tried to go for the win. I don't blame them. But it was onslaught. It was an onslaught after that. The Bucks, God knows what happened there. I don't even know why I picked them. The over, for the record, Benny, I told you this before we got on the show, killed us. That one hurt. And I want to hear your take on the Bucks when we get there. But we were 6-5, man. How did you do? Tell the people how you did.
Well, I hit the big bet of the week. The teaser that I talked about with you guys last week was the Ravens and the Texans. So the Texans got a little close there at the end, and I'm glad. This is why the teasers are nice, because if you took them straight up, you lost on that 6.5. But we teased it down to 0.5 there on the road, so they did wind up just barely squeezing that one out for us. But that was my big teaser for the week, so that was good. Everything else I was kind of 50-50 on. I hit a couple of the prop bets I made last week, lost a couple of the prop bets I made last week. Really upset about the fact that I had prop bets for touchdowns on both DeAndre Hopkins and Chase Edmonds, right? They score 4 touchdowns, and I don't get any piece of that with the 2 best players on the team. Like, that made absolutely no sense for me. I was like, are you kidding me with that? I did hit the Kyle Murray rushing yard over in, like, the first half, so that was nice.
I had the over at 48 or 49, and I think they had that. I think they had 41 at halftime. I was like,
yeah, I had 40 and a half, and I think he had, like, 40. Like you said, he had, like, 50 yards by the half, so it was second quarter. I stopped worrying about that. Or, no, you know what? I think it was right at the beginning of the third is when he finally got it, and I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about this anymore. And now I was just sitting there sweating out touchdowns by Edmonds and freaking Hopkins, and neither one of them got one. Some that guy named Daniel had one. And
I mean, that's why Kirk didn't get a touchdown. Kirk, that was a bomb. I mean, in stride. That was a nice one to watch.
You know what, Norman? I don't know how much DFS you talk on this show, but for DFS, I knew he was going to be like 6%. Yo, you have me still?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, I don't know what happened there. Sorry about that. Yeah, for DFS, I knew he was going to be like 6%. So I was all in on Kyler Murray. And the thing that really annoyed me is every one of those lineups, I either had Chase Edmonds or DeAndre Hopkins on. And a lot of them had Christian Kirk. So Christian Kirk going off was good. I still like min cashed a few of them. But I'm like, man, if I would have just got a big game out of either one of Edmonds or DeAndre Hopkins, I mean – you had like a monster game from Kyler Murray, and there was really only one guy that came along for the ride with him, and that was Christian Kirk. He had a big game.
Hopkins killed me in a ton of leagues. But
plus 130 for a touchdown, and I was like, no, there's no way he doesn't score.
Hopkins, it hurts. It hurts managing a guy like that, because there's no way you're ever going to take him out. Like, he's a guy that you have in your lineup, and when he doesn't do great, it's just like shit. You know, it's one of those games that – it doesn't happen. There's no decision to it. It's just, it didn't happen. I finally had the decision. I was going to get into games, but real quick, guy who's let me down this year is, I have him in Dynasty, Ezekiel Elliott. He's a guy like that for a while I had him playing, and I'm just like, he's a guy, like, I got to start him. I can't start him anymore. I have Pollard too. I wish one of them just did better, because they're both at like 7 points a game. It's hard to watch them right now.
Honestly, what you really hope for, and I never wish injury on anybody, but what you really hope for is that one of them gets hurt. Because if one of them gets hurt, then the other one becomes the full-time workhorse. Right now, I think Dallas just realizes, like, the season's over. They suck. Like, they're just, like, they're basically, like, splitting carries. I mean, honestly, Zeke, I didn't even think Zeke played that much. I'd have to look. I didn't look at their carries and stuff yet. You know, I'm beginning of the week, I'm usually more on the betting side of things. The end of the week, I usually get a little deeper into the – you know, the prop betting and DFS side of it. So I haven't gotten that far into my analysis yet, but I'm interested to see what the snap counts and all that was, because it didn't look like Zeke was on the field anywhere near that much in that game, even though they were close. They almost won, which surprised. I have no idea how that happened, but, you know, that was interesting.
It was the longest drives I saw. Like, they were giving the cheekiest dump offs and handoffs, like really just chipping away, chipping away, mm-hmm. chipping away. I mean, that's what they did. And then CD just broke one. I think it was on third down. They just got to third down and then converted it and just took up the quarter's length at a time. Let's move on to the games. Now, as always, these lines are presented by betonline.ag. And Thursday, we normally crush, or I feel like I got a pulse on these Thursday games more often than not. And this Thursday is a Thursday night football game at its finest. It is an AFC South matchup. We got the Colts versus the Titans. Now, on BetOnline, we have this almost near a pick'em. Colts are 1-point dogs, plus 114 on the money line, over under 48.5. This is a Derrick Henry game to me. As much as I like the Colts D, this is a Derrick Henry game to me. I have Derrick Henry some places, and I kind of feel like he ebb and flows. And, like, rarely does Henry have a quiet game. But when he doesn't go off, which he hasn't in a while, you know it's brewing. He loves Thursday night. I just think Derrick Henry is going to run into this Colts D. They're going to try to run the ball too. I just think Derrick Henry is going to do it better. I think they're going to edge him out. With the line at this point, it's an easy, like, pick them. Give me the Titans. I think the Titans at home, led by Derrick Henry, is going to figure it out against this D. I like the Colts. They had a bye 2 weeks ago. They just played the Ravens. I get that. But this is a divisional game. I think the Titans are going to win that division, and this is an important game.
Yeah, I have Titans minus one here. What's the line you're looking at? My number is minus one. Titans minus one.
Yeah, minus one. And then so it's minus 134 on the money line. So, I mean, either way, I'd take the minus one. But
yeah, there's no reason to bet. With 1 point spread, there's really not much of a reason to bet a money line at minus 134. Just take the minus 110 and give up the point. And you know what? If they win by a point and you push, then they win by a point and you push. Don't give up the money with the money line there. But yeah, the Titans would be the side of this game that I'm on. I will say this. I know this is the BetAG podcast, but if you're on DraftKings and you like Derrick Henry that much, DraftKings Sportsbook odds boost for the week is 100 yards and a touchdown for Derrick Henry, and it pays like 260. So if you think this is going to be a big-time Derrick Henry game, you can go. Now, again, it's one of those odds boost things, so you can only max it out to like 50 or 100 bucks, I think.
That's all right.
I mean, again, money's money, man. I don't.
They want to give me free money. That's fine.
Yeah, hey, listen, the government's doing it to everybody else. I didn't get any of that shit, so I might as well get something somewhere.
So, yeah, one more note. I just think with Tannehill, from what I've seen, I think they're getting more dependent on the run game. That Bears-Titans game, I told you that I would take the under on that game more than anything as my best bet because they were just both poop teams. Like, that game early on was gross to watch. I mean, it looked like Henry was doing nothing. Neither D was really giving an inch, and then the Titans finally took over. The turning point in that game was A.J. Brown. Tannehill did nothing all day and then delivered a dime to A.J. Brown down the sideline on just a mid-stride, like 40-yard touchdown. I mean, he looks good. I like what they have going on there. I like what the Titans have to offer right now. I like what A.J. Brown has going on with the receiving core, even though besides him, it's like, what, Corey Davis? But aside from that, I like the Titans' offense. I'll look past their defense, which isn't very good, and for them to win this AFC South battle.
Yeah, A.J. Brown is a grown-ass man. That touchdown that he had, he just carried two guys into the end zone with him. That dude is a beast. I'm going to say this to people. He's a guy that's going to go underdrafted next year in season-long leagues, and he's a guy that goes under-owned every week in DFS. So yeah, if you're playing any DFS, keep putting him in your lineup because for some reason, even in, like, bad matchups, the guy produces, and the guy is never more than, like, 10-12% owned, which is awesome for tournaments.
Yeah, he's a freak. He reminds me of Julio. He resembles Julio the most for me right now in the league. Just, like, the next just throw me the ball. I'm going to go get it. DK's there, too. But DK is kind of his own person, I think.
That's another physical.
Like, A.J. Brown replicates Julio's game. DK's like everyone morphed into one right now. I mean, he took that drag to the house maybe, what was it, 2 weeks ago? It was insane. His speed's ridiculous. He's a man amongst men. And, yeah, he's definitely his own brand of wide receiver. Let's keep it going. Also, I'll probably take the under at 48.5 here because, again, two poop teams. But that's not the bet. I just wanted to note that. We'll move to Sunday. And here's a team I have mince words for, and I'm trying to look past it. But before I make a pick, I'm going to have to hear the opinion of someone who's not biased and has some reasonable thought behind this matchup. It's a team you really like. The Carolina Panthers off a near 60-yard field goal victory for an upset. Maybe the second time in the last 2 weeks, first with the Saints, now with the Chiefs last week. They're 4.5-point dogs, plus 195 on the money line, hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't like the Bucs right now. I really don't like Tom Brady. I have nothing good to say about them. The over-under is at 50.5. The same as last week, mind you. It's as if they're mocking me now. What do you think, Benny? Where do you see this line? Am I teasing it up to 10.5? That's my immediate decision. Kind of off the rip here, even though they don't have CMC. But tell me what's going on with this matchup.
I mean, pissed off Tom Brady is not something that I ever want to, like, mess with here, because coming off a bad game, he could come out and just have a dominant one here. Mm. With that being said, I mean, I still have Tampa Bay as one of the better teams in my power rankings. You know, I'm going to have to see them have a couple shitty games before that moves down. Like, one bad game isn't going to tank them. One bad game against another good team isn't going to tank them in my rankings. So I still have them as about 5 points better than league average. And I still have the Panthers as about 1.5 below. So 6.5 right there, you adjust for Panthers having home field. You're back down to like 5 is my number on this game. So at 4.5, I don't really have a side that I want to go on. Yeah. If I have to pick, I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. But if I have to bet, I'm probably just going to stay away from this game.
Pissed off Tom Brady is something within itself. But I will say this. That was the worst game I've ever seen him have. He looked lost. He was throwing up wounded ducks. He couldn't score from on the 1 yard line. He was as bad as he could get, deer in the headlights, kind of bad at times. At home, mind you, in a very important game, they've looked beatable against the Saints.
So let me throw this out here right now, and I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm just throwing it out there for people to kind of think about, a little food for thought here. Last year, he was very good until about midseason. Then the end of the season for Tom Brady with the New England Patriots last year was hot garbage, right? Like, that's why people were worried about, will Tom Brady ever be Tom Brady again? Is he done? He's washed. Let New England let him walk. Belichick's so smart letting him go and bringing in Cam Newton. And then the season started, and this season started out with Brady looking kind of like the old Tom Brady, where people were like, oh, shit, the Patriots made a mistake letting this guy walk out the front door here. But the end of last season, he broke down last season around the same point in the season. So, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I have no idea whether it will or it won't. He might have been hurt. That was the word last year. But just keep that in mind. If you see another bad game for Tom Brady, it's the same exact story we saw last year. And listen, I turned 40 this year, bro. I have trouble getting out of bed sometimes, and I don't have 320-pound guys running into me at full speed every weekend. So I could understand if the guys beat up after 8 or 9 football games because groceries up the stairs. So I get it. I'm not saying that he's washed. I'm just saying keep an eye on it, because this is the same point last season where his numbers went from being Tom Brady to, you know, being cracked out Tom Brady. So we'll see what happens.
Well, so it's getting in the winter seasons, and Tom wants to just be full Tampa mode. Like, this is the time of year where people go to Tampa and, like, vacation at their houses and, like, just chill out because it's cold up north and it's nice down in Florida. And Tom just wants to be on vacation mode. But what Tom doesn't realize is he needs to score touchdowns, and he scored none of those last week. And I don't want to touch this game, but I feel like it's a divisional game. I think it's going to be a quality game. I actually think the number is interesting in terms of the Panthers keep things close. They're home. That's over a field goal. They're a team I kind of like to bet. I mentioned throwing them in a teaser. I probably will. Granted, pissed off Tom Brady, sure, but this Bucs team, this Panthers team is scrappy. They really don't know how to say die. And that Bucs D looked vulnerable. That secondary looked vulnerable. Could be a Robbie Anderson type of game. And like Teddy's balling, by the way, Benny. One more thing. Teddy's fucking balling.
Teddy is balling. Well, and Christian McCaffrey's back. You didn't even mention him. That's the key piece of that.
He hurt his ankle, though, no? I heard he hurt
his ankle. Yeah, but I mean, is he out? I didn't think he was going to be out.
Like, he re-injured it. I don't know. I didn't know if they were going to monitor it.
Or this is the problem with doing the show on Tuesday, man. We don't have any injury reports. We don't have any practices yet this week. So we'll see what happens.
Primarily speculation. That's the best thing about this show. We just speculate.
All right, well, that's true, too. Even if he's out, though, I mean, again, we talked about Mike Davis and the, you know, how much running backs really matter and all that. But that was the thing that – that's actually the thing that has me on Tampa Bay. It's like, okay, maybe Tom Brady's not the old Tom Brady, but I think he'll bounce back well enough and be pissed off and try to win this game. You know, not that he's not trying to win every game, but you know what I mean. Like, he's got a little extra motivation here.
Yeah.
But I don't think the defense is as – like, the Saints just completely carved them up last week. And this was one of the top defenses in the entire league heading into that game. Like, that's why I was, like, excited to see, oh, man, this is going to be a good battle. It was not a good battle. Like, Drew Brees won straight up, heads down, not even a question at this point. So I want to see that Tampa Bay defense get back to the defense they look like every other game of the season, because literally that was, like, the outlier game. I don't know if they were out partying last night or what happened before that happened, but they did not look good at all in that game. And it's
so I just want to be the one to say that Taysom Hill won that game over Drew Brees. He did more. He was more vital to that game plan than Drew Brees. No, I'm just talking shit.
No, that's true. Good.
Yeah. We're going to move on, and I want to go against myself with my own advice on this podcast. 2 weeks ago, I told you, Benny, the Browns are home favorites here. They're liars. They're frauds. They don't deserve to be favorites against anybody. Take the Raiders. And I was right. Then the Browns say goodbye. And here we are, same situation again. Home favorites, 3.5 against the Houston Texans, who, as we talked about, almost lost to Jake Luton and the Jaguars. Jake Luton, the gluten-free monster, that guy. I mean, he's a big dude. You underestimate how big that guy actually is. He's 6'6". When he ran that touchdown, I was very surprised. No more Jake Luton talk. Let's stick on the Texans. And I'm just going to come out and say I'm a hypocrite, because I'm going to bet the Browns this week. I don't care about the number. They're going to win. And it's as simple as the Texans can't stop the run, and the Browns love to run. And this is going to be another poop game. But this is a poop game that favors the Browns, because they are going to be able to do what they do best. Real quick, let's throw some statistics on this show. I know what you're thinking, Steven. Now you're sounding smart. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. The Texans, second worst rushing D in the league, 159.5 rushing yards per game. The Browns, fifth best, 150 yards rushing per game. So that's going to be right at it. Really only Kareem Hunt to worry about. I don't know if Chubb is 100% back yet.
Well, Chubb, I was just about to say, Chubb is expected back this week. Now, again, yeah, it's Tuesday, so keep monitoring the injury reports if you're listening to this podcast before the weekend, because that may not be the case. But as of last week, the rumor and the plan was to have Nick Chubb at practice this week and to be ready to play this weekend.
That just feeds into their hands more. I like the Browns. I'll take them to cover the 3.5. I don't think this will be a field goal game. I think it's going to be a touchdown game one way or the other. The Texans can't kick field goals. They also lost David Johnson. So, I mean, it's pretty much the Houston Deshaun Watsons at this point. And I can't see it. I don't see it this week, unfortunately. Where do you sit at?
So I'm actually on the other side of this game, to be honest with you. I do have Cleveland favored. I have Cleveland favored by 1 point in this game on my numbers, right? So to me, this is basically a coin flip if I have Cleveland favored by 1.5 is too many points. And honestly, I don't even want to take the field goal here. If I'm going to do it, I'm going straight up Texans money line. It's not a bet that I'm going to go all in on, but it's my favorite way to play this game, and it is a bet that I have already made. I'm actually a little upset. What's the number you have? Because I got in at 135, and I think it's up to like 150-something now.
155 on betonline.ag.
All right, so sometimes you're on the wrong side of the closing line value, and that's me in this situation right here. Normally in these situations too, Steve, when you're getting the 3.5, so you're getting the hook, normally, I would be on the Texan side of that and just be like, yeah, I'll take Texans with the 3.5 there. Because, again, my number is only Browns minus 1, which to me is basically a coin flip here, considering the Browns are at home. You play this game on a neutral field, I would have this game as basically a pick 'em right now. But I agree with everything you said. I mean, the Texans defense, 28th DVOA, it's one of the worst defenses in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, the Browns are better on both sides of the ball, basically, with the exception of, you know, Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson is the key to this game for me. Like, he's the reason why I'm willing to bet on the Texans, because I think Deshaun Watson against what I consider to be kind of a weak secondary is going to be able to find guys deep down the field, because you can throw the ball deep down the field against the Cleveland Browns, especially after they traded Jabril Peppers to your New York Giants there. Yeah. You can beat them deep. And Houston has a lot of guys that can get behind the defense. Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller, even like Kenny Stills and you know, Randall Cobb. Like, there's just a whole bunch of guys in that team that can go deep. And the other thing is, I don't think the David Johnson loss is that big a deal.
I was waiting for this. I feel this way too.
Forces them to pass the ball. And Duke Johnson is great as a receiver out of the backfield. Like, I think this could be that game where they just go three wide on every play and put Deshaun Watson in shotgun and let him throw the ball 40, 45 times. And if you're going to let Deshaun Watson throw the ball 40, 45 times against what I consider to be a weak defense, although they do have a good pass rush, I think he could wind up put – like, he might go out there. I'm playing him all over the place in DFS this week because he might put up crazy points.
Yeah. No. Hey, I think he could put up crazy points. I preference this by saying it's the Houston Deshaun Watsons. But Cooks has gotten – since O'Brien has left, since Bill left, Cooks has gone off week after week. And Will Fuller had a good showing last week as well. They're letting him air the ball out. I think Duke Johnson helps their offense. Didn't mean to jump for excitement too much there, but I have David Johnson shares everywhere. And I'm just like, Duke Johnson, dude. I mean, who better? In their situation, who better? But one other thing to note real quick, the Cleveland Browns pass rush is very good. And that Texans offensive line is not an offensive line you like to be around. For me, I've just felt in the games the Texans have played this year against run-heavy teams, I mean, I remember that Packers game. They just if a team just imposes their will and runs the ball against the Houston Texans, even the Ravens, they'll just control tempo, and Deshaun Watson could do all he can. It'll come down to last play. I don't know if he could continue to do that. They barely did it last week, and it was against the Jaguars. But let's move on. We continue to move on. Real quick, we'll backtrack. Over-under 53 for that game. Back to the next game. Eagles, -3.5 favorites on the road against the New York Giants here. I'm so glad this game has come up to 3.5. I'm on the Giants at 3.5. I'm on the Giants money line. I'll sink with the ship. Before I get into a homer pitch, I want you to try to convince me again, as you try to do every week, why the Giants won't cover this spread. And then I'm going to tell you the counter right away. The Giants have played 5 consecutive games decided by 3 points or less. Give me the hook.
6-3 against the spread this year, the Giants. So
give me the hook.
They're 2-7. 2-7 in real life, but 6-3 against the –
Great teams cover. Good team win.
Great team cover. Listen, it's the gambler's motto right there. I don't disagree with you. Here's why I'm on Philly. I have Philly as -3.75. So I'm basically right on market with the 3.5 there, right? There are some other books out there where you could actually get Philly at 3 at, you know, normal juice. I would be all over that if you could get it there. I agree with you with the hook. Having the hook is a big deal. So being on that side of the hook definitely doesn't make it something that I'm going to hate. But if I'm going to bet this game, I'm going to bet Philly. Here's the reason why. Again, pay attention to the injury reports this week. But from everything I'm reading, Miles Sanders is expected back, which is a huge, huge, huge difference to that Philly offense. If he doesn't come back, then I feel a lot better about the Giants and the number that you're sitting on. Alshon Jeffrey is also supposed to be back. Honestly, I don't know how much that really moves the needle right now because I don't know what to expect out of Alshon coming back. You give me peak Alshon coming back, I'd be like, oh, man, Giants are in trouble at this point with that. But they did also welcome back Dallas Goedert right before the break. They did also welcome back Jalen Reagor right before the break. They found something in this, what's his name, Flugum kid. So this is a legit offense right now, which they haven't been all season. They're ranked 29th DVOA on the offensive side of the football. DVOA being, defensive value opponent adjusted, meaning that, you know, they take how good the teams that you played are and they kind of, you know, adjusted to what you would be against a league average team. And Philly's been horrible, but they've also been horrible without all these guys, right? So now Carson Wentz has all those weapons back. The offensive line is still a fucking joke. They're still in shambles, but I think Philly's got enough talent now on offense to put up some points. And the defense is solid enough that I don't think the Giants are going to light them up. So I'm still on the Philly side of this game. Sorry, bro.
There's not enough talent in the world to contain this Giants defense any longer. And Philly will feel the wrath. That offensive line is going to feel the wrath. They're next because we're coming. You know, I was negative all day. And then I was like, you know something? Benny keeps telling me the Giants aren't going to cover this number. I feel so good about this 3.5. I'm ready to be – here's what's going to happen. My heart's going to be ripped out of my chest again. See, like, I don't even look at this from a game perspective. Anytime the Giants play the Eagles, it's just in the fashion they lose. It's not just – they don't just casually lose. Like, the only way this number will cover is like a game-ending pick six or a fumble recovery. Like, it's going to be gross, okay? I'm just letting you know it's going to get ugly, and we're either going to be on the good side or the bad side. But I feel like the 3.5 should play a factor here. Miles Sanders, that would be interesting. That'd be interesting. I think that would.
Well, like I said, that's the rumor. The rumor, at least from the beginning of the week, is that he's going to be practicing and he's going to play this.
Doesn't that make him a better team, though? Boston Scott goes off against the Giants. Not Miles Sanders. Taking away that might be what the Giants want.
See, that is, honestly, that's the small sample size fallacy right there. It's like, oh, guy had a good game, so he's better against them. No, Miles Sanders is a much better player than Boston Scott. So Miles Sanders again. If Miles Sanders has to be healthy, though, Miles Sanders at 80%. Might not be a better player than Boston Scott, but 100% Miles Sanders is way better than Boston Scott, and somebody that, if I was a defensive coordinator, I would be a lot more worried about.
I would be down for 80% Miles Sanders, and then, like, they try to run this game plan to get him touches and, like, ease him into it role, and, like, then it takes away from Boston Scott. Then it's like, dude, put Boston Scott in. We need to spark things up. Miles Sanders has also been sus with those Eagles lately. I know he's a great running back, very talented, but the way they use him is very sus. I will move on because there's no way I'm getting off this Giants line. Over-under in that game, 44.5. That is setting up a 24-21 finale for the cover. Okay, 4 p.m., Bills, and pretty much a straight-on pick 'em. They'll come in at the dog at BetOnline, plus 110, plus 1 on the spread. On the road against the Cardinals, who just lost in a shootout, in a wild one, actually, against the Miami Dolphins. I know you saw the end of the game. Moneyline is minus 130. It looked good. It appeared good from the camera angle on the TV, and it was just 1 yard short. You never really see that anymore. It's always ride wide up. It's either wide – I can't even say it. It's wide right or wide left, but he managed to come up short just a yard.
So, Steve, let me ask you a question, right? If you didn't know what the number was on this game, and I said to you, Buffalo's playing Arizona this week, who would you think would be favored?
I'm betting the Bills. That's yes. All right. Well, let me should be favored if they just beat the Seahawks.
Let me try to talk you off of this, because I know that that's what most other people are thinking too.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with it, and I was surprised that my number doesn't agree with it either. So, you know, I watch a lot of football, so I have preconceived notions in my head. Now, it took me the longest time to trust my numbers enough to not also, you know, want to be like, my preconceived notion says I should be on this side, even though my numbers say I should be on this side. But sometimes the two of them agree. And this is actually one of those games where they agreed a little bit, because Arizona in my numbers is minus one. Now, here's the key that I'll give to you here. Both of these offenses are very good, right? Both of them are led by a dynamic two-threat, dual-threat quarterback. They can both beat you downfield. They can both run, as surprisingly, as we've seen recently. There's a lot of things that the offenses have in common. Buffalo is the 8th-ranked offense right now, DVOA. Arizona is the 10th-ranked offense. So pretty close on that side of the ball. Here's where things really change for me. Arizona's defense is now the 10th-ranked defense, DVOA. And they're at home. So you have them at home, and they're a top 10-ranked defense at the moment. Now, on the other side of this game, you have the Buffalo defense, who is currently ranked 28th. 28th is what the Buffalo defense is ranked right now. That's not good. That's not good at all. So when you're looking at who's got a better chance, yeah, Buffalo's offense is good, but they're going against a solid defense that it's not going to be easy for them to put up against. Arizona's offense is also very good. They're going up against a shit defense at home.
You good?
Yeah, did you hear anything I just said?
Yeah, I heard it. But you just cut out, right, like, at the end of it.
Oh, man. Do we have to redo that?
It was pretty good. I don't know where you ended off. I was just noting that you cut out right there.
I actually turned my camera off because you froze up on my screen, and I was like, shit, let me turn my camera off. Hopefully the audio works, since this is only audio anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah, I don't know.
The audio was good. You heard me all the way through, or?
Yeah, I heard you fine. Right,
good. I mean, I'm sure you got to edit this anyway, but whatever.
Yeah, I already jotted it down.
Okay.
Where you were. You were talking numbers on the cards. I'm trying to just remember the last part of it. Shit. You're talking about
the last thing. What I basically just said is that the Cards offense is going up against a defense that shit, basically.
I will say this about the Cards, and you're walking me off the ledge of the Bills a little bit. They're very unpredictable in a sense where I think you see the common opponent in the Seahawks. They've both beat them, so that kind of plays a factor for me. You see the common opponent. They was both pretty recently. Seahawks, a very good team. I think they only have two losses. Those are their two losses. So I could see this being a heads-up game. I just think the Bills are more talented than them. I think if the Cards attack it the right way, and I mentioned this about the Seahawks last week against the Bills, if they attack it the right way, I think they can beat them. There's a way to beat them. But if they kind of try to come out and have Kyler Murray do this, this, and that, that's going to benefit the Bills' D. The way to go at the Bills' D, it's got to be concrete. You got to really actually stick to running the ball. Like, even Russell Wilson showed it. Like, Josh Allen and this offense, if you open things up, they'll keep pace, and their D isn't great, but they're good enough to make some plays and get you off your game. Russell Wilson didn't have a touchdown for a really long time in that game. I mean, they were out of it pretty much really early on, whereas the Cardinals against the Seahawks had to battle their way back in. So, I don't know. This is definitely a toss-up. I like the Bills as a team more, so it's hard to get me off it. But, you know, being like I was last week with the Bills and Seahawks, I might take the over at 56. I think this game will just crush the over. The Bills put up like a combined 70 with the fucking Seahawks last week. That was insane. I could see that being the case this time around, but if this turns into a shootout, I kind of like Josh Allen's playmaking ability, man. I think he proved a lot last week in my eyes a little bit. Seahawks D does stink, though. I will say that. Last note, Seahawks D stinks. So, grain of salt.
Great.
You there? I can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm here. I said agree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
I already talked about it. Do you want me to talk about it again?
No. Yeah, I just forgot. I forgot where you got off. Okay. We're good. So we continue. We move on. That over is at 56. Yep, we're taking the over. Okay. All right, we move on. Next game on the 4 p.m. slate is another game that I think could kind of go either way. The Chargers are coming off a loss that you definitely saw coming. I liked the Raiders in that matchup. A part of me thought the Chargers would be able to pull it off, and they were close. They were in there, but ultimately they just decided to be the Chargers and lose that game. They hit the road, and they're going against the team we just talked about in the Cards, the Miami Dolphins, the Tua-led Miami Dolphins. They're 2.5-point favorites, 2-0 since Tua has been there, minus 150 on the money line, over under 48 points. I can't really pick a side here, man. I like rooting for the Chargers. The Dolphins' D is starting to look really good out of nowhere. Not really out of nowhere, but, I mean, it's a Brian Flores-led team. But, man, they're starting to look really good. They really helped Tua out, and he looked sharp against the Cards last week. My early lean is the Dolphins, but it kind of troubles me that they were this road dog, pulled it out. Now they're this home favorite against the Chargers. Could be a bit of a trap game. Do your numbers tell you anything about this matchup, you know, to lean one way or the other?
Yeah, actually a lot. My number on this game is Miami -3.5. What number do they have over at BetAG?
So 2.5 is what they were offering, but it was at positive odds. I got +130 here, so I assume that's down more? Or no, up more. That would be up at 3. It would be up at 3.
Yeah, I mean, 2.5 is what I saw, too. That's why I asked. If you can get it – again, there's times where a one-point difference is not enough to put me onto something, and there's times where a one-point difference is.
Mm-hmm.
When the number that I have is 3.5 and the number the book's offering is 2.5, hey, I get the field goal now. The field goal's on my side, and I think that they're better – more than a field goal favorite over them. So I'm on the Dolphins in this game. And I also have another thing that I like about this game, that I don't understand the movement right now, and it's really annoying me because I'm going to have to figure out the reason why, and I just really don't get it right now. My number came in at the beginning of the week here with a total of 52 on this game. The number that most books opened at was 50. The number I'm looking at in a lot of spots right now is 48. What do they have it on at BetAG?
48.
Yeah, so here I am thinking, wow, 50, I'm above this number. I want to bet the over. I almost bet the over at 50 yesterday, and I'm glad I didn't because I woke up this morning and it was 48. And I bet it this morning at 48 because I thought that this number should be moving in the other direction.
Yeah.
So if you're going to up and getting that I thought was a good number, I mean, my number right now is 4 points ahead of where this total is. So I have to double check and see the injury report. Maybe I'm missing something, which honestly, when a number's off by like 4 or 5 points, that's usually what it is there's an injury somewhere. I don't even know what injury would be the injury I'm missing here that would have this game moving in that direction. Like, I get Josh Jackson. Oh, Justin Jackson just went down, but like that's not going to move a spread at 2 or 3 points for me. So I don't really understand why this is going. Here's the thing that scares me, though. The Chargers this year, they have 6 losses, right? All of their losses have been by a touchdown or less. 3-5, 7-3, 1-5. That's what they lost their 6 games by. They've gone over, though, in the last 5 games that they played with Herbert under center. And then you look at the Miami Dolphins the last 2 weeks. Now, again, I know they played the Cardinals last week. But if you take the Cardinals, who were a fast-paced team, out of the equation, Miami still played really fast. And even the week before, Miami played really fast. So that's 2 weeks in a row that Miami has played above average when you're talking about their speed. And then you get a Chargers team that's played over in the last 5 games. And then you have a total that's moving down. Like, none of that makes sense when you put it all together. To me, this game just screams over, which is one of my favorite bets of the week now, 48. So I took the Dolphins at 2.5, and I took the over at 48. And I'm either going to be very, very right on this game or very, very wrong.
I love it. I've been keeping this one in my back pocket. I was going to mention this would be my play on this game because I took the over, and I had the same thoughts last week when they were playing the Cards. It was at 49, and I had mentioned that earlier in the show. They hit that about halftime. This Dolphins team, very similar in a sense with the Chargers. I mean, if they can score points, they're going to score points. 48's a low number for this game. I mean, these teams, defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns, I mean, they really want to put points on the board. And yeah, it's screaming over. With the quarterbacks in play, this is screaming over. Again, in terms of picking the game, I still can't feel one side or the other. I feel like if I could get the Chargers at like 3, 3.5, it would be golden because I think that's just their style of play. The 2.5 doesn't do much for me. I like the over a lot. But we'll continue to move on here. We got the Seahawks on the road at Los Angeles. The Rams off a bye. Seattle, as we talked about, lost to the Bills on the road. They return to the West Coast, not home, as plus 100 underdogs on betonline.ag. The Rams, home favorites at minus 120 on the money line, over under 55.5. Benny, why are the Seahawks the underdogs?
Well, the Seahawks deserve to be the underdogs, to be honest with you. I actually have these two teams as a pick 'em on a neutral field. And then you have to factor in for the Rams. The Rams are actually coming off of extra rest. They had the bye last week. And the Rams are home here. So when you add in the fact that they got extra rest and you add in the fact that they're home, you would expect them to be about 2-point favorites in this game. Or at least my numbers expect them to be about 2-point favorites in this game. So I don't have a bet on either one of the sides here. I do think the Rams deserve to be the favorite, though. So I don't think that that part is crazy. But like I said, I mean, neutral field, I basically have this game as a pick 'em. So I don't really think it's nuts there. Here's an interesting thing, though. The Seahawks are 6-2 to the over this year. The Rams are 2-6 to the over this year, meaning the Rams are basically 6-2 to the under, and the Seahawks are 6-2 to the over. So something's got to give here. I don't know what's going to give. I don't know which side of this is going to be the one. But one way or another, something's going to give here in this game. I mean, Seahawks average 34 points a game, but they give up 30 points a game. You look at the Rams side of it, the Rams don't score anywhere near as much as the Seahawks do when they play slower, but they're also better defensively. So I don't know. I think that the fact that the Seahawks defense is so bad is going to make the Rams score a little more on offense, especially the passing game. If Jared Goff doesn't have a big game here, then he was not that I don't think he's a waste of $100-something million anyway, but if you can't put up numbers against the Seahawks, who are giving up literally the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks in the entire NFL this year, then you can't put up fantasy points against anybody. So I like the passing game for the Rams. I think the Rams are going to score. I think the Rams defense is good enough. Nobody's going to stop Seattle. Like, you're not going to shut down Russ Wilson and those weapons. But if you can make it tough on them, you know, maybe they don't get the 34, maybe they only get the 27. I still think my favorite way to play this game, though, is the over. Like, to me, that's you know, it's the Seahawks game. I mean, doesn't almost every Seahawks game go over one way or another?
They combined for 70 points last week, as I said. So, yeah, probably. Until it gets to 60, I'm not starting to come.
I mean, the average final score of a Seahawks game this year is 64.
Yeah.
They're scoring 34 and giving up 30. The average final score in a Seahawks game is 64. And I've never seen a total. Well, I shouldn't say that. Once or twice in my life, I've seen a total in the NFL hit 60. Like, 64 would be like a college total. And I feel like people are just kind of sleeping on the fact that, you know, this team could put up that many points and give up that many points in an NFL football game.
I love the over. What's crazy is that the overs are starting to really trend in the NFL, if I'm noticing it correctly. I have no statistics behind this. I've heard no mumbo jumbo. Someone said the overs were supposed to increase this year, and I started betting them crazy in the early part of the season. That was Warren Sharp. I'll give credit. Warren Sharp was talking about how early on the overs would be there, and they were not. But maybe it's starting to catch now. I mean, I just have started to bet them lately because I've seen where these offensive, you know, these offenses in general are trending. You're starting to see these matchups where I think all three of these 4 p.m. games could go over. I'm just looking at my board, and it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. You just say over, over, over. There's four 4 p.m. games. If 3 out of the 4 go over, that's not so bad. So,
I got some numbers for you. I don't have the numbers on overs and unders. I haven't looked at that, but I do have the raw scoring numbers. Raw scoring this year is up a little over 5 points, I think, is the number. I didn't finish factoring in last week, so that number may have moved. But going into last week, it was right around 5 points, and I think we were a little under the number we needed to keep it there. So it might be around 5 points would be the number I would expect right now. And I think somebody also was saying that one of the reasons why the overs aren't hitting as often is because the narrative is out there that a lot of people know that scoring is up. So because scoring is up, the books already adjusted and put the overs up a little bit too. So you're seeing, I mean, again, 56, 55, these are not normal numbers that you see in the NFL. Like, you rarely see over 52. You know, like, if there's a high scoring game, it might have been 54. And we have two or three games this week that are over 54, which are, you know, numbers you normally only see, like, when you have certain prime perfect matchups in the NFL, like, year over year. You don't even – and even then, you only get a couple of those numbers. Now we're getting a couple of them a week that are 55, that are the speed limit or the old speed limit, are higher right now, basically. And that's, you know, that's an interesting thing there. So, like I said, I don't have the over-under trend. I didn't do that work, so I don't want to lie to people out there. But the scoring is up about 5 points a game this year.
Yeah, I did want to – I attempted to preference it saying the same thing. I don't have the numbers, but from what I'm seeing with my eyes, it appears it is trending upwards. Yeah, wild. But on the same note, there are some games that stick out and you're like, this is way under. So it's crazy that there's that much of a separation within the NFL between, like, good teams and bad teams. This year more than ever, I think. Just, like, there are really good teams and then there are just trash teams. And you're starting to see some of those trash teams – compile and fight for those, like, seventh playoff spot now. It's wild. The hunt has changed in the wild card because of this extra spot. But that's a rabbit hole. Let's not go down all the way. Let's talk about some teams, at least one of them, that should be in the playoffs come playoff time. And it's the Baltimore Ravens. They're traveling to the New England Patriots. The Patriots beat the winless Jets by the skin of their balls. They are 7.5-point dogs against the Ravens here. The Ravens at 7.5 is plus 105 on betonline.ag, so not too bad. Enticing, minus 305 on the money line. Over-under, 44.5. The under is low here for me. I know the Patriots' offense isn't the sexiest, but for what this game appears to me, I get it. Like, and I can't pick four overs in a row, but this was a number I wanted to talk about initially. I like the Ravens. I don't want to just pick a favorite here. I want to talk about this number. 44 is low. I mean, Cam Newton's still the quarterback of the Patriots. He's due for a touchdown or two a game. I mean, just with his legs alone, it's proven at this point. So can you not see these teams both at least touching the 20s?
I honestly think the total in this game is very low. So I'm definitely on that side with you. I think 7 is the right number in this game. I actually have it at 6.5, but again, I'm not touching anything at 7 in this game. What I like the most about this game is the teaser angle. I think teasing Baltimore down to minus one is just it's a lock play for me this week. I know I tease Baltimore all the time because I think that the numbers they get are always high because they're a good team, but they're a good team on both sides of the football. Are they as explosive or am I as scared of them as I was last year? Not at all. But at the same point in time, I still expect them to beat a less than 100% New England Patriots team right now. So to me, the best way to play this game, tease the Ravens down to minus one. I don't have a bet on the side or the total, but I do agree with you. 44 just feels like way too low a number.
It's just aggressive. Like 44.5 is higher for the Giants Eagles game. I just don't see how you could justify that. The Ravens offense, though, and I get it. The Ravens offense has looked like a shell of itself. I mean, really missing in action. Lamar looks timid lately. Mark Andrews is missing. People have figured out how to shut him down. Dez Bryant got demoted again. Hollywood Brown is gone. Ingram's hurt. J.K. Dobbins hasn't really done anything because they don't give him too many touches. Gus Edwards is, for some reason, getting goal line touches and fumbling it. I mean, they looked like a shit show last week, and they still managed to win. They've done that each of the last couple of weeks. So I kind of get how you could be hesitant on their offense. But the Patriots' defense gave up 27 points to the Jets and Joe Flacco last night.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I saw that. Am I tripping? Is this wrong?
No, there's literally no excuse. Here's what I'm going to say, and I do not know this to be true, but it's kind of what I've been feeling all season long, is I don't think Lamar Jackson is healthy. And because he's not healthy, I don't think he's running. And if Lamar Jackson's not running, then Lamar Jackson is basically a pocket passer. And the thing that made him so good last year is teams had to defend them a certain way because they were just worried about him taking off and running, because he was one of the best, literally one of the best to ever do it at the position in the history of the NFL. That's why he's the MVP. That's why the guy put up the numbers that he did. So him running and forcing teams to play a little closer to the line also opened things up deep and opened things up over the middle, because now teams are using that middle linebacker as a spy instead of a guy that's kind of floating in the middle to, kind of take away Mark Andrews. When you force Lamar Jackson to be a pocket passer, he's very easy to defend. And it's not that he can't run, but just looking at the amount of times he ran last year, designed runs, and even just tucking the ball and running when he didn't have anything there versus the amount of times he's running this year, it's clear to see that there's either a change in philosophy, which makes no sense since you basically have the same staff there, or something's wrong with Lamar Jackson. And I really honestly think that that's an excuse, because they should be so much better than they are. After watching them last year and then seeing them this year, like you said, it's not even the same offense.
No, it isn't. It's a shell of itself right now. And I could buy it, because even on his scrambles, even on his rushing touchdowns, it looks like he's holding back. It looks like he's holding back a little bit. I mean, you can go side by side. That one amazing play against the Bengals last year when he hit that spin move, like, you're not seeing that. And I don't think we're going to see that this year. Maybe in a glimpse, but I mean, Lamar Jackson off the rip last year was using his speed, using his legs to take over games. He has rarely done that this year, if at all. And when he has, or at least has tried to, he's like fumbled the ball and turned it over. So it has not worked in his favor. We'll move on. That is, again, the Sunday night game at 8 p.m. I like what you said about that Baltimore teaser, though. I do feel like I tease them down a lot, but it's a nice play. I mean, whenever you can get a number like that, there's not many sevens out there right now. So when you could see it, it's nice. Also, I didn't mention it, but I think if I could get the Seahawks up to seven, I kind of like that too. I think that'll be a close game in a teaser. But I digress. Vikings on the road at the Chicago Bears. 2.5-point underdogs for the Chicago Bears, plus 131 on the money line. The Bears let us down last week. We felt pretty good about them. They did terrible. I knew I liked that under more than a side because both teams didn't look very good at all. The Bears looked worse. Foles did not look good. David Montgomery looked worse. And then there's the Vikings and Dalvin Cook, who beat up on the Lions. Dalvin Cook had not even a coming out party. I don't even know how to put it. Just had himself a day, fucking went off, and they're rolling. So it's an NFC North rival. 2.5 for the Vikings. I don't think the Vikings are good enough to be favorites on the road against the Bears, who I believe have a better record than them. But here we are. I get it. The Vikings are a better team. But I got to bet the Bears as the home dog, no? I mean, these are our guys. Benny, these are our guys. This is the Bears. This is what we want. It's the home dogs on Monday night.
I mean, listen, you know I've been higher on this team than anybody else this year. And this is one of those games where my eyes and my numbers do not agree. My eyes tell me, dude, you cannot bet against Minnesota right now because Dalvin Cook's on another freaking planet. My numbers tell me, though, that this should be a pick'em. And if the Bears are the team that's getting points in this game, then I'm on the Bears side. I probably honestly, what is it? What line do you have over there?
So I have 2.5. I have 2.5.
Vikings favored by 2.5, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so in that case, the way for me to play it, because I'm not getting a whole field goal, I'm not taking 2+2.5. I hate to say this, Steve, but the way for me to play this game is Bears money line. Like, that's I got to follow my system, right? I got to follow my system. This is my system. Bears money line is the way I play this game. Man, I don't really feel it. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I honestly could look like an absolute fool at the end of the weekend for this game. But just going with my numbers, going with what I do in these situations, my bet here is Bears money line.
So I'm going to tell you this strategy I've been doing recently on primetime games for Sunday and Monday night games, especially. But I'm on the Bears. I like the points a little bit more than the money line. You don't like buying them. I feel like for my own safe haven, I'm going to buy them. But I'll probably just tease them up to 8.5. I teased them up to 12.5 last week and it covered. So you know what? Just to save you from yelling at me, I'll tease them and I'll buy the points and I'll take the money line. Here's what I was going to go with. In a game like this, I'm going to wait for the commentators to pick. Because each of the last few weeks, whenever they go unanimous, or even when they like tease it around and they're like, we don't want to get that screenshot. Every time that happens, the Jets covered last night. The Saints won the day before. It happens more than you think. And I'm going to put the chart together. I feel like Charlie and It's Always Sunny right now because I'm on to him. So whenever there's a close game in primetime, just watch the commentators pick. And if they pick unanimously or all but one, that team, they're at least covering. it's almost an exact science. I want you to pay attention to it this week, Benny, and tell me if I'm crazy. Because I'll send you the screenshots. It's crazy. I'm pitching conspiracy theories.
I mean,
you don't even know what to say right now. I know. It's crazy. First time I saw it. Fade the public, man. You got to fade.
Dude, you're hurting. You're legitimately hurting my analytical brain with this conversation right now. Like, I need way more. You're like, it's a small sample size argument here right now. It's like, hey, I was watching football on Sunday and Monday night, and the commentators are wrong. Like, all right, that's two games out of like, you know, 100.
Unanimously. It's not that they were wrong. It's that they were all wrong, and the public was wrong. Like, every Sunday night. This past Sunday night, it was 75% public. Bucks. With disrespectful-ass scores. Like, disrespectful. You got to bet the opposite side. Just trust me. Just do it a couple times and let me know how it works out.
I'll do it with your bankroll. How's that?
How about that? That's fair. Next time I see it, I'm going to send you the screenshot, okay? And I'm going to say I'm sprinkling some on top for you, and I'll just accumulate your money for you, okay? Whenever you want to collect, you just give me a call.
You know what? Here's what we'll do, Steve. I'll make you a deal here, right? One of these days when I don't have anything to do on a Monday, you and I will take a ride. You can pick me up. We'll go down to the beach. We'll go hang out at my house. We got the big screen there. I'll keep the kids at home. And we'll bet every single game, and I will let you pick every single game off whatever narrative you want. And we'll just throw my money on it and we'll lose it all and we'll have a good time and we'll get drunk all day.
That's fine. I do that all the time with my own money. So if you want to use your money this time, that's great. You know, normally the narratives don't stick as much and that's why it's concerning. Then you go with the fade. Sometimes you got to fade. You got to know when to fade. It's crazy. Fade the public, but you also can't be afraid to fade yourself, Benny. That's sharp betting. When you become the mush, you gotta get out. You gotta run away. You gotta find an escape route. It's the Bears.
Dude, this is some next level shit right here. No, like I said, the Bears, I don't feel good about it, but that's the way we're going.
I'm taking you up on that offer. But yeah, I don't feel good about it either. Let's Let's roll the dice. We won't do it Monday, but the next time the Bears play on a Monday night, I might have to cash in that ticket. I'm going to do it, though. I'm going to do it.
You know, do the Bears have any more Monday night games? I can't imagine they gave them more than one.
I don't know how they keep giving them primetime games.
I don't know how the Jets got one. I'm like, I don't know who made the schedule, but whatever.
I would give them every Thursday night game. They're a Thursday night team. That's why I think the Titans are a Thursday night team. Certain teams are built for Thursday night. Short weeks, take advantage of it, you know? Because, like, the Bears, they're not going to be no better on Thursday than they are on Sunday. There's just no way. It's going to be the same team. You know, they don't need rest or practice. They're just going to be the Bears regardless. Nick Foles will be there. The defense will be there.
The thing about the Bears is that, like, they – because they're so good on defense and because they do have some skill position players on offense, they just make games ugly. And that's the thing. It's like their games are just – it doesn't matter how good the other team is or how, like, talented they are. It's just the Bears make you play ugly. They make you grind it out. They make you earn every yard that you have to get. They make you play field position. Like, the Bears aren't getting into 35-30 shootouts with anybody. All their games, they're trying to keep the score – below 45 points. Like, if you get to 28 against the Bears, you won, because there's no fucking way that offense is scoring 28 points.
The Bears
when they are able to keep them under 28. You know, like, Allen Robinson finds a way to catch a touchdown, and, you know, David Montgomery will get in from the 2-yard line after a pass interference call. Like, they just find ways to do enough on offense. And the defense just limits everybody from going off. And next thing you know, they always have a chance at the end of games. Like, think about how many games the Bears have won or lost this year that came down to, like, the last play. You know, on either side of the ball. Like, you know, Mitch Trubisky throwing a touchdown early in the year, the defense getting a stop in a couple games. Like, all their plays seem to come down to the last drive. So, that's the other reason I like having money on the Bears, is you get a good 3-hour sweat out of a Bears bet.
Yeah, and some. You start sweating it in pregame because you start to look at this team and you're like, what am I betting on? You see David Montgomery out there and it's like, you don't know what you're getting. You have no clue. Cordarrelle Patterson was a receiver. He wears 84 and is their running back. Like, he's their main guy at the moment as of last game because Montgomery got benched. So that's who they went to. Since he got banished to the bench, Cordarrelle Patterson, a receiver, was their running back. So that just – when you bet the Bears, you have to be ready for things like that. I just don't want anyone to be startled when they listen to us and they're like, what the hell did these guys sign me up for? It's not going to be pretty. Look at the job done.
Well, listen, Steve. So, Steve, you want the narrative on the Bears win too?
I want to hear it.
All right. So, you know, I went to college, University of Delaware, right? I'm a ass-kicking chicken. I'm a nice blue hen there. Yep. So, this is the month. This is – so far it's been University of Delaware's month, right? So Joe Biden, University of Delaware grad, gets president-elect of the country, right? Joe Flacco, University of Delaware grad, goes off on Monday Night Football and passes Joe Montana for all-time career passing yards. Matt Nagy, the coach of the Chicago Bears, also a former quarterback at the University of Delaware. So listen, if he pulls off this upset here and he gets us this win at plus money, it just continues the narrative. You want a narrative? I mean, look at me, University of Delaware guy. Winds up with an awesome job this week after being unemployed for two weeks.
No, there we go. Yeah. Delaware can't lose in November. Delaware can't lose. It just statistically, that's enough of a sample size. That's not small.
I mean, so far, yeah. I mean, we got four good things in like 10 days. I mean, that's amazing right now.
That's all I need.
Listen, it's more than
that's a lot of good things.
It's more than the prime time narrative that you're trying to get me to bet on here. So there you go.
No, I like it. I really like it. Delaware, man. I'm going to start looking at more angles of that. You're opening up Pandora's box. I'm going to start looking up famous athletes from Delaware, primetime, like NASCAR drivers, soccer players. We'll do the research, and we'll get layers on layers on this.
I really can't imagine the list is that long, but shout out to my fellow Blue Hens out there, baby. Ass-kicking chickens forever.
Isn't Elena Deladon? Didn't she play at UDel?
Yep, yeah.
There we go. See, I got you. I don't need to look up research, and that's about it, though. I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I can't go much further than that either. There's one or two more, but not that many.
Well, we've reached the part of the show where I'm just going to go through and let the people know or refresh them where I'm leaning and where you're convincing me to lean. And we're about to get to one that you're convincing me to lean. I'm taking the Titans. I like them -1 here. And that under is enticing because it's ugly. But I'm just going to bet them straight. You like the Bucks here. I love the Panthers in a teaser. I'll probably just bet that separately. That'll be a guilty pleasure teaser. That's what we'll call that. It's a guilty pleasure teaser. I think you're right. It'll be a Brady revenge game, but I'm not going to feel good about it because it's literally the same line as last week, and I feel like I'm doing the same thing again. I'm going to start to panic about it because it's like deja vu. We're on the Bucks, minus 4.5 there. Browns, we don't love the 3.5, but I kind of do. I like them kind of by anything right now, at least as long as it's not a touchdown, because I feel like the Browns will win this game by like 6 to 8 points, something weird. It's not going to look pretty, but I think they're going to run the shit out of the ball. So we've got the Browns. Give me the Giants, 3.5. I don't even need to talk about that one. Cards. You brought me around to the cards, but we love the overs here. That's easy. Really, more than picks in 4 p.m. Just take every over, make a three-leg parlay here of the Cards, Bills, Chargers, Dolphins, and Seahawks, Rams overs, and enjoy yourselves. Treat yourselves. But then we got Cards. I'll take the Dolphins as well, although I think it's a trap game. I think come game time, I might switch over to the Chargers. I don't know. I can't decide yet. And then we have the Seahawks, Rams, and I'll take the Seahawks here as dogs. I like the Rams defense a lot. They're well rested, but I mean, I can't see Russell Wilson not having a revenge game either. If we're using that narrative for Brady, it plays for Russ too. I don't want to see Russ after he just threw three picks. You know, no thank you. Sunday night, give me the Ravens in the teaser. Give me the Ravens in general. I'll play to betonline.ag's rules. I'll take the 7.5. They're going to win by 10. Give me the positive money. I'll play. Betonline.ag. Remember, every line here is courtesy of that. And then we got Monday night. Give me the Bears. We're taking the money line. Love the under because these teams aren't going to score shit. Oh, and also, if you really want to get crazy, all four overs because I like that Ravens-Patriots over too. So, Benny, where are you at? What does that teaser look like this week?
Yeah, so, I mean, the Ravens are the key to my teaser this week. That's the one that I'm using on, you know, basically teasing all other teams with here this week. I don't have a lot that I'm in love with this week, but I do like the Cardinals more than I like Buffalo in that game. So I would be on the Arizona side. I do like the Rams a little bit, but I didn't bet that game. What was the other game I bet? I'm trying to find all the other games that I bet here while I'm looking through this.
We missed one 4 p.m. game, and I believe the Packers and the Jags also not on this.
Okay. The Packers and the Jags is actually the other part of the teaser that I had because I got this number at 13. So that was the big teaser that I made this week, actually, now that I see it. I teased that down from 13 to 7, and I teased the Ravens down from 7 to 1. So that was my big teaser this week. I searched all over, and I found that number out there. Quick thing for you guys out there. If you go over to the new site I'm working for, FTN Bets, they have a free tool that I think is awesome. At the top of the page, if you click on odds, and then you click on NFL, they have, depending on what state you live in, whatever sports books are legal in that state, they have an updated to the minute ticker of all of the sports books and the number that they're offering, the spread number that they're offering, and the money line number that they're offering. So if you're sitting there like, man, I want to bet on, you know, I want to bet on the Bears, you go over to ftnbets.com, you click on the odds thing up at the top of the screen, scroll down to NFL, and you'll see there's 6 sports books in New Jersey that are legal. And they'll have the current number that's being offered for the money line for all 6 of those sports books. And then you can just click on whichever one is the best line. And, you know, if you have an account, you know, just put in your bet. If you don't have an account, sign up for it and put in your bet right there. And you're going to get the best number every time. So coolest freaking tool I've ever seen. And something that I really, really like when I saw it, that was actually one of the things that sold me on going and working for the company.
And I'm sold. I'm going to use it. You all should use it. And Benny, I already told them before you got on here, but they should use you in a sense. Turn on the notifications. Listen to what he has to say when he says it. Catch these lines when they're at 13, not 13.5. I do it. I see them. I don't tell you guys I see them because I want to make everyone feel included here, Benny. But I do it. And if you don't do it yet, turn on those notifications. Follow the man at BennyR11. He's going to be here every week until he just says, I'm not going to be here anymore. Then we cry about it together. But Benny, thank you again for coming on the show. This is awesome every week. Hopefully we do better than 6-5 this week. I feel really good about it. We're going to talk about that Cardinals-Bills game. But thank you.
All right, we'll talk about it. But one other thing before I leave, because I love you, Steve, any of your people that want to sign up over at FTN Bets, I will put the promo code in, Benny, when I get off the air tonight, 10% off anything for all your people. Because I love you. Because you're my boy.
You guys hear this. This is a man of the people. And you said you weren't smart. You're smart. You're funny. You're smart. I like you. I like you. And the people like you. Number one in the hearts, number one in the pocket. Benny Ricciardi, thank you again, my man.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.